To Hebrew Christians, the letter to the Hebrews. And we're just going to read some verses from chapter 1 and from chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And then chapter 2 in verse 1, please. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. If the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, this is the word of the Lord, and we look to him to bless it to each one of us today. Quite simply today, I want to look at these verses, and I want to consider with you, first of all, a word from God, a word from God. You'll have noticed that very clearly in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Hebrews. In time past, God has spoken. And so there is a word, and it is a word from God. Now, you'll be glad to know it's not a word from Peterhead. I haven't come with you, come here today with a word from Peterhead, but it's a word from God. And that should cause us to really just be serious about what we're hearing. God has spoken. And not only is there in the first chapter of Hebrews a word from God, but in chapter 2 and verse 1 of Hebrews, there's a warning from God. There is a warning from God. And we would do well just to pay attention. That's what the verse tells us. We would do well to pay the more earnest heed, to pay attention. So we're thinking today of a word from God. What has God said? What has he communicated? How has he communicated? That is a great stumbling block. That is a great problem for many people. Well, we don't really know if there is a God or not. And some people will just tell you, well, there is no God. You know, the atheism and the secularism of this world would just rule out God altogether. There is no God. Mind, the Bible does tell us in Psalm number 14, I think it is, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so the person that says that is described in the Bible as being foolish. But there are others who are agnostics. They tell me, well, I'm not an atheist now, but I'm just a bit agnostic. I don't know. I'm not sure, and nobody really knows. And if only God would make himself clearer, and if only God would speak. Well, we want to see from these verses that God has spoken. And I would judge that God is speaking, speaking still, speaking into the hearts of those who will hear. And so we're looking at these verses today, and we're just thinking of the God who speaks, the God who speaks. If I can digress just for 1 minute, in my daily devotional readings this week, I've been reading a devotional a devotional that is centered around the Catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism. Don't worry if you're not familiar with that document. But it's a series of questions, and they are tailored to teach believers, to teach Christians the truths of the Bible. And the first question in that catechism is this: what is your only hope in life and in death? I just wonder if I could ask each one here today that question. What is your only hope in life and in death? The answer given in the catechism is this: our only hope in life and in death is that we are not our own, but that we belong, body and soul, to God and to our Saviour, Jesus Christ. I wonder if that is your hope. That is the hope in life and in death. That is the hope of every believer in the room today. That is the sure and certain hope of every person in the room that has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that has turned to him in repentance and in faith, and has confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and surrendered all to him, and following him, forsaking all, following him. Now I wonder, let's come back to that question perhaps at the end of our meeting. What is your only hope in life and in death? But notice with me in the verses that we read. The verses that we read tell us of a word from God. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke. So God has spoken. God has spoken in time past to the fathers by the prophets. And so I notice that God has spoken in times past. The thought is really long ago. So long ago in history, in the history of this world, God has spoken. And he has spoken to a certain people, and he has spoken through a certain agency. So he's spoken to the fathers, and the people that their letter is addressed to, they were Hebrew, they were Israelites, and say they would have known that their ancestors told them that God spoke to us through the prophets. And so in the past, God has spoken. And let's just think about that for a few moments. In the past, I'm going to suggest that partially, in the past, God has spoken. God has spoken through the prophets. Now, let's just think about that. God is speaking through men who are called the prophets. Try and picture in your mind these men. I don't know what's coming up in your mind today as you think of the prophets. You know, they're usually in some sort of hairy garment, sackcloth of some sort, and they've got a long beard perhaps, and maybe they look a bit solemn, and they're proclaiming the name of the Lord. A man called Moses, he was a prophet. He was a great prophet. A man called Moses, and he spoke. God spoke to the people through Moses. And Moses gave them commandments from God. And so Moses communicated the mind and the will of God for people. And in those commandments, they were told, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And you will not have any graven images. You will not have any idols that you bow down to. Because I, the Lord, am a jealous God." And God is speaking through the prophets. And he is saying, "I alone am God, and there's no gods other than me." And the people were told, "Don't be making any images to bow down to, whether it's images of men or images of things." And you might say, well, that all seems very irrelevant in our day. You know, we're a modern people, and we don't bow down to pieces of metal. Maybe you do. Maybe you do have idols and you bow down to them. Well, God says you'll have nothing of the sort. And God is a jealous God. And yet in the world today, this world, this society that we live in, is bowing down to idols. They do so every weekend. And they worship in their stadiums and in their theatres, and they're bowing down. And what are you replacing God with? And God also told them not only of the glory of his person and the exclusivity of his person, but he told them, thou shalt not commit adultery. And he told them, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not kill. And he told them, thou shalt not steal. And the prophet told the people, God spoke through the prophet, and he told them, you will not covet. You won't be greedy for things that are not yours. And God told them that you will not bear false witness. You will not tell lies. And the reason God gave these commandments was not only to show the people something of the perfection and glory and purity of his person and how they should walk, but it was to show them that no man is able to keep these. And some would have said, well, I've kept them. And the Lord Jesus says, well, be careful, because the thoughts of your heart are enough. And the anger and the lust of your heart is enough for you to have broken those commandments and be guilty. And God has spoken through the prophets. He spoke through a man called Moses. He spoke through a man called Isaiah. He spoke through Isaiah the prophet, and Isaiah could say to a people, could say to a nation that had turned their back on God. Isaiah the prophet told the nation, he could be speaking to the nation of Scotland, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have forsaken me. He says, the animals know their masters, but my people do not know, my people do not consider. And the nation had turned their back, and God spoke to them through Isaiah, and Isaiah said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And God is speaking through the prophet, and he's telling them, listen, listen, just reason in your mind. There's a way back. If you'll only turn, if you'll only repent, if you'll only come back. I'm speaking to someone today. If you'll only return, Isaiah the prophet could say, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto me, saith the Lord, and I will abundantly pardon. And there's forgiveness. The prophet says, this is a message from God. Just come back. Just repent. Just believe. And so God has spoken through the prophets. He spoke through Isaiah. He spoke through a man called Amos. And Amos told the people, prepare to meet your God. What a word from the prophets today. God speaking through the prophets. And what he's saying is, God is coming. And the Lord is going to return. And the day of the Lord is coming. And it's a day of judgment and wrath. And you need to be ready. Prepare to meet your God. And so the prophets have spoken, and God has spoken through the prophets. That was in the past. That was of a partial nature. But when God speaks, it is powerful. But listen to what the verse goes on to say. He spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, but he has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And that's an amazing truth, that God spoke partially in the past, but now, in these last days, that expression just means the day, the age that we're living in. We're living in the last days. It doesn't mean, you know, the end times so much. You know, it's the thought of, since the Lord Jesus came, the last days have been ushered in, and we're living in that age, that dispensation, if you will. And God has spoken, not now in the past, but he's spoken presently, in our day. And not only has he spoken presently, but he's spoken personally. He's spoken to us. Don't be thinking of anyone else in the meeting today. Think of yourself and your relationship with God and how you stand before God. And God has spoken presently now. He's speaking. And God has spoken personally to us. And God is speaking powerfully. He has spoken in his Son. And as we come to chapter 2, we learn that the person who is being described as Son in chapter 1, his name is Jesus. And we see that in chapter 2. And God has spoken in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks in him today. I think that is absolutely amazing that God has spoken. God has spoken. God is speaking today. I trust you hear God speaking today, the God who speaks personally and powerfully. God has spoken in creation. Creation itself is enough for you to hear the voice of God. The psalmist in Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky, his handiwork. And so, in the rising of the sun, it's getting a bit earlier now. Maybe you're not up for the rising of the sun now. You know, the Bible tells me this, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. And it speaks to us there is a God to be praised. And it declares his glory. And the course of the sun, in the course of a day, from its rising to its setting, God is speaking. And in the night sky, David, looking up into the night sky, wrote a psalm about it. He says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. When I consider the moon and the stars which you have made, they're the work of your fingers. And God is speaking in the planets, in the world around us, speaking in the singing of a bird outside your window in the morning, speaking in the breaking of the waves in the sea, speaking in the redness of the sky as the sun goes down. God is speaking in creation. God is speaking in his word. The same psalm, Psalm 19, says the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. And there are characteristics of God's word. God has spoken in his word. Maybe you just think the Bible's just a book. Maybe you think it's just an old, dusty, dry book. The Bible is a love letter from God to you. And the scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. They show the way of salvation. God is speaking in his word. I believe that God speaks in providence, the providence, events of life, circumstances, just to cause people to consider. But ultimately, God's final word is in his Son. And he has spoken in his Son. The gospel message that we preach here today is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The gospel is the gospel of God concerning his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so God is speaking in his Son. If you have your Bible open, look what it says about the greatness of his person. He has appointed him, whom he has appointed, heir of all things. He is the heir, the owner of the universe. He has universal dominion. I don't know how you feel about things. We not only live in a secular world, we live in such a material world, and materialism and the desire for things and things that we can call our own. You know, I've got to get me one of those. And the advertisements just appeal to our hearts. It's all going to be burned up. And it says that he is the heir of all things. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all belong to him. And so he is the heir of all things. He will be the one who will have universal dominion. He is the Son of God. God is speaking, and he's telling us that this is my heir. And everything in this world belongs to him. The cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And the wealth in every mine. And not only the heir of all things, but through whom he made the worlds. He is the heir of all things. He's the creator of all things. And the Son of God, Jesus Christ, he made all things. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And so he is the heir of all things. He is the one who made all things. Second question of the catechism we spoke about. What is God? God is the creator of everything and everyone and everything. The creator and sustainer of everyone and everything. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he made the worlds. He is the brightness of God's glory. And so when the Lord Jesus was in this world, he could say, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And the Bible tells us no man has seen God at any time. That is true. But the only begotten, the Lord Jesus, the only begotten Son in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He has made him known. And he has shown us God's glory has outshone from him. We beheld his glory, the disciples could say. And in him, men see the love of God. Here is love vast as the ocean. And the compassion of Christ and the love of Christ displayed ultimately at Calvary. And so we see in the Lord Jesus the brightness of God's glory. He is the express image of God, the express image of his person. And he is upholding all things by the word of his power. Upholding all things. Upholding the universe. You know, recently there was an article on the news and it was all way above me. It was something called the Higgs boson particle. I thought, I'll show the folks in Fernie-Lee just how clever I am. And I thought I would Google it. And I read all about it. And it didn't mean anything to me. I just hadn't a clue. But apparently, you know, without this Boson-Higgs particle, there would be no universe. Nothing would be holding together. There would be nothing. To the extent that people called it the God particle, and it's one of the greatest discoveries, apparently. And the man that discovered it doesn't even believe in God. He's an atheist, and he wasn't happy when they called it the God particle. And I might not be clever enough to know all about these things. But I do know this, that all things were made by my Savior. And all things were made for him. And by him, all things consist. And he's the one that holds everything together. And so we see the greatness of his person. God is speaking in his Son. But not only the greatness of his person, but notice the greatness of his work. When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And if God has spoken in the greatness of the person of his Son, he has spoken loudly and clearly in the greatness of the work of the Son. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has made purification for our sins. Our sins have separated us from God. And the penalty of our sins is that one day we will face the judgment of God and the wrath of God. And one day we will stand before God, and those that are not written in the book of life, those that are being judged according to their works, will be cast into the lake of fire. And I don't know all the detail of eternal punishment, but I know that the Bible clearly teaches it. Death is not the end, my friend. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And our sins will lead us ultimately to that judgment. But he, by himself, has purged our sins. He's made provision. He has cleansed, provided cleansing from sin. When he had by himself at Calvary's cross purged our sins, he sat down. Not only did he die, but he rose again and ascended and is seated at God's right hand. And he's a prince and a savior. And he's able to save to the uttermost all who will come to God through him. And so God has spoken, and there is a word from God. But notice with me, if your Bible is still open at chapter 2, there is not only a word from God, but there is a warning from God. And the warning is this. Chapter 2 begins with the word therefore. And when they were teaching us about how to read our Bible and study our Bible, they told us, if you see the word therefore, ask what it's there for. And the therefore is linking us to what has gone before. And it's taking us back to the fact that God has spoken in his Son. And so therefore, if that is the case, if God has spoken, the writer is saying, we must give the more earnest heed to what is being said and to what we have heard. We need to pay attention. I trust you're paying attention today. We must give the more earnest heed. And among all the voices that are crying out for your attention today, the most important thing is to give earnest heed, full attention to God's speaking. And the reason for that is lest we drift away. And there is that possibility. There's the possibility you just keep coming to meetings like this and you just drift along. But let me tell you this. You will not drift closer. You will not drift closer. You will drift further and drift further. And there's a hymn in some of our hymn books that says, who knows when you will have drifted too far from the shore. And that line will have been crossed, and there will be no opportunity to return. Lest we drift away, someone has said that the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. And it's just a drifting. And the word that is being spoken is steadfast. Notice it says, if the word spoken through angels is steadfast, the word is reliable. The word that is being spoken is reliable and true and faithful. And it's worthy of your full attention. And not only so, but we are accountable. Because in the verse it tells us that there's an accountability, and every sin and every transgression will receive a just recompense of reward. The Bible speaks about those that are in their sin, they are treasuring up wrath in the day of judgment. Imagine that, the sins that we're committing. The sins that we're committing, we're treasuring up, they're mounting up. You know, the songwriter has said, the old account was long and growing every day, and I was always sinning and never thought to pray. Oh, that we can say with the songwriter, but the old account was settled long ago. And so we are accountable. And finally, the question is asked, how shall we escape? How shall we escape if we neglect? I find that interesting. It doesn't say if we reject, but just if we neglect so great salvation. The answer is not really expected. It's a rhetorical question, you know. It's an obvious answer that there is no escape. There is no escape if we neglect so great salvation. The salvation that has been spoken by the prophets, that God has communicated through his Son and his Word, salvation has been made available and provided. God is speaking powerfully and personally. I trust that some today will hear his voice. If we were to have gone into chapter 3 of this letter, we would have read this expression a number of times. It comes from Psalm 95. And the expression is this: Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. I trust the Lord will bless his word to each one today. I'm just going to bow in prayer at the close of the meeting. Our Father, we bow in thy presence now. We're so thankful that you have spoken in the scriptures by the prophets, but ultimately and finally and fully in thy Son. And we're thankful today for the greatness of his person and the greatness of his work. And we're thankful today for all who are in this place who know him personally as their Savior, have heard thy voice and responded to thy call. And our prayer today, our Father, is that some may be in this hall today and they've never really heard the voice of God calling. We just pray that they might hear thy voice today. And perhaps some have heard it. God speaks once, yea, twice. And thy Spirit will not always strive with man. But we do just pray, Lord, that some will hear, and not only hear, but will respond today. May some be eternally blessed with salvation, we pray, as we ask it in the Saviour's precious name. Amen.